Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
This is the Brian Lehrer Show. I'm Juan Manuel Benitez, filling in for Brian today. And like we said earlier, in his budget, Trump is proposing eliminating all funding to the National Endowment for the Arts, also for the National Endowment for the Humanities, and the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, a key revenue source for PBS and NPR. And listeners, if your organization depends on funding from these agencies, we want to hear from you. You can call us at 212-433-WNYC. That is 212-433-9692. And joining us now, we have Sopan Deb. He's a reporter for the New York Times. Thank you so much for being with us, Sopan.
Oh, thank you for having me.
And tell us a little bit more. So Republicans have long wanted to get rid of the NEA, the National Endowment for the Arts. Do you think that they're going to get their wish this time around?
You know, this is definitely probably the most dire the situation has been for the NEA and the NEH and the Corporation Public Broadcasting. And the reason for that is that Donald Trump is the first president ever to formally propose getting rid of all three things wholesale. You know, this goes back, remember, you know, in the early 90s, folks like Pat Buchanan and the right really felt like the federal government should not be funding the arts. That is something that the federal government can't afford to do. But it's never come this far. There's never been a presidential budget that has zeroed out all three of those things. Now, with that being said, there's still a long way to go. The discussion is not over. Remember, Congress writes the budget. The president's budget is more of a suggestion than anything else. It shows you the president's political priorities and whatnot. So, but there are some Republican senators and congressmen that might try to fight to keep it. But right now, we don't know how many or who those people will be.
So knowing that Republicans in Washington have tried to eliminate funding for these agencies for a long, long time, and knowing that we have a Republican president, we have a Republican House, a Republican
right.
Senate, what's mm-hmm. going to stop Republicans from finally getting rid of all these agencies?
Well, it's not, first of all, you know, it's not like every single Republican wants to get rid of the CPB, NEA, and NEH. For example, Lisa Murkowski is one person, a senator from Alaska, who is a very, important senator when it comes to this process and who runs an important subcommittee on this, believes that the NEA, NEH should be funded. Susan Collins from Maine is another one. Whether there are enough of Susan Collins and Lisa Murkowski's out there, it remains to be seen. One thing we noticed in the immediate reaction to Donald Trump's budget is that there weren't many visible supporters or detractors going either way on the NEA and NEH. Everyone was kind of tepid. This is early on in the process, so we'll see what happens. So it's too early to tell where Congress lands on this. Mm-hmm. And so we'll find out, I think, in the coming months. Remember, this is a long process. There's a long time to go. What I think we can definitively say is that this is the most dire the situation has been for all three of those agencies.
And let's talk to someone who knows firsthand how much or the negative impact this could have on his organization. We have Dan Nuxall. He's a director of Rooftop Films at Rooftop Films is a nonprofit that hosts a summer screening series and supports independent film production. So, Dan, thank you for joining us. Tell us, how do you think this budget would impact your organization?
Well, thank you so much for having me. And, I think one of the things that's really crucial for everyone, real voters and people who are fighting on these issues, to really understand is just exactly what this funding is used for by arts organizations. To give an example, my organization, Rooftop Films, we get one of the bigger NEA grants that goes to any film and media organization in the country. Even our grant represents only about 3% of our overall annual budget. It's not really that these cuts in funding will put a lot of arts organizations entirely out of business. However, what it will do is it will force those organizations to cut back on the services that they provide for the most vulnerable communities, for communities that don't necessarily have access to arts programs generally. To give an example that, you know, might be easier for some other audiences to understand, you know, the Film Society of Lincoln Center does lots of different events. They also get NEA funding. They do lots of different events, but their core audience is generally pretty well off, upper middle class or wealthy New Yorkers. The programs that they apply for to get funding for from the NEA are the programs that are outreach to other communities, doing screenings in outer boroughs and those sorts of things. Those are the programs that will really be impacted by this, because those are the programs that are hardest to get corporate sponsors for, or are harder to get funding for from wealthy Manhattan donors, for instance. Like, that's really where the impact is going to be felt in the programs that, you know, don't get funding from other sources. But there's very few arts organizations that are actually primarily funded by this NEA grant. You know, it's usually 3, 5, maybe 7% of your budget.
So
the only exception to that, I'm sorry, go ahead.
No, so if Donald Trump gets his wish and there's no more NEA, would that be a really hard blow to your organization, or you'd be able to maybe fundraise or get the funds from other sources? Meaning, is it that consequential, the fact that Donald Trump wants to get rid of the NEA?
It's absolutely consequential. And what it's really consequential for is it prevents us from doing some of our most effective work for communities that really need that. And, you know, most arts organizations are run on a rather lean budget and are able to achieve a lot with a little. And they might have a lot of resources that are available to them aside from cash. And those are the things that are impacted by this. For instance, Rooftop Films has a grants program. We get hundreds of thousands of dollars of services donated to us that we can re-grant out to filmmakers. All that we really need to do is have the funding to have a couple of staff members who can administer that. So we might take $5,000 of our grants, put it towards our grant program, and generate hundreds of thousands of dollars of grants for other filmmakers. Mm-hmm. But if we don't have the budget to just have to hire that administrator to administer that grant, hundreds of thousands of dollars are lost to the bigger arts community, which prevents films from getting made and various many other things. And that's like those implications down the line are what people really need to understand are going to be lost if this funding is cut.
Mm-hmm. Let's take some calls. We have Tricia in Manhattan. Tricia, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Good morning.
Tell us, do you manage an arts institution?
I actually founded and manage a very small theater company in New York. My company is called Airmit Theater Company, and we do classics by women playwrights. So we're the only company that does that. And as a small organization, we actually received an NEA grant. And the importance of that grant was that it basically gave us kind of an imprimatur from an organization that said, hey, you're real, you're important, and we value what you do. And when the NEA isn't there anymore, to help add that weight to the work that you do so that funders, grantors, individuals say, yeah, somebody else believes in this company. They're important enough that the National Endowment for the Arts went out of their way to make sure that these people were given a grant. These people are worth my money as well. And that's mm-hmm. what I'm concerned is going to happen, particularly for small companies like mine,
so
who
do
are
you
still
think,
struggling.
Do you think, Tricia, that maybe there is another way to get that stamp of approval if the NEA gets eliminated?
Well, there's other ways to get a stamp of approval, but the issue is that you lose that particular large one that foundations and large donors look toward. If you don't have it, it's one thing. There's a different way to get it, but the reality is it is something that others look at right now. If you have an NEA grant, it says something about the level of professionalism of your work.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Trish.
So the question is, who would do that? Do we, you know, what foundation will then step up? Often when the NEA money goes away, you also see corporate money go away. Mm-hmm. So it's a balancing point. If you lose NEA grants, you've got to hope that somebody else is going to kind of come in and fill in that gap. And it's a big gap to fill, and it hasn't really gotten filled. I remember back mm-hmm. in the day during the Finley Five situation in the 80s, watching the NEA nearly go away then and right. being at protests.
Right, because this is not the first time that they've been trying to eliminate the NEA. Thank you so much, Tricia.
Sure.
I'm joined now by our own Charlie Herman. He is the business and culture editor at WNYC. Thank you for being with us, Charlie.
Hello.
And tell me, you've been doing a lot of reporting on this.
Well, to pick up what she was saying is that the NEA says that for every dollar that they give to an organization like hers, they can often raise upwards of seven more dollars, or sometimes even up to $9 more. So, you know, that small investment actually leads to about $500 million in additional investment from other organizations. So it does become this very important fundraising part for the rest of the organization. And then they can often use that money that they get from the NEA for very particular projects, oftentimes related to, in several organizations I've spoken with here in New York, they use it for things like access, providing free admission programs for seniors or kids, different things like that to try and make sure that they're reaching a broad audience.
So what was the initial reaction of the major arts institutions? Is it, well, we expected this, or here we go again, they're trying to cut our funding? Or are they really worried that this is going to happen this time around?
A lot of the major ones in New York, you know, MoMA, the Met, the Lincoln Center, all 11 institutions at Lincoln Center, all came out with statements saying, you know, stressing how important the NEA, the NEH, various different programs, other ones that have been considered to be eliminated, how important they are to them in providing funds. And again, one of the big things that the NEA provides to an organization as large as the Met or MoMA are things like a program called the Art and Indemnity Program. And basically this means that institutions that are putting on big exhibits, maybe they're bringing in artwork from overseas or they're having it shipped around in different parts of the country, that the federal government insures or indemnifies the institution for the cost of moving that piece of work from one place to another. And, you know, we spoke yesterday to the head of the Guggenheim, who's talking about a big show that they're putting together of the artist Giacometti. And it's, you know, his works have become so expensive that the cost of actually putting together the show and shipping the items would be beyond the ability of the Guggenheim to put this show together. So it's a very, you know, there are other things more than even just, you know, here's $5,000, here's $50,000 for a particular program that the institution say it's really crucial for them to have.
And I'm sure that cities like New York, if the NEA gets eliminated, cities like New York are not going to suffer that much, maybe because they have like large communities of people interested in the arts and maybe are going to try to finance or to offset the cuts. But do you think this is going to have like a really big impact in small communities in rural America?
Well, let me first take the first part of that question, which is about how places like New York City would be affected. You know, we did some reporting over the last couple of weeks, and the NEA gave about $14.5 million to more than 400 organizations in New York City in 2016, according to a study by the city. And that was more than 10% of all NEA grants that year. And New York City groups are actually the top recipients of such grants in the country. So New York City would actually stand to lose quite a bit. But just widening out, yes. Of course, rural areas would be the most targeted by this. But just pulling back a little bit, in the grand scheme of things, the U.S. government, you know, in terms of a per capita or as a percentage of the GDP, is far behind other countries in terms of what it gives to the arts. And what a lot of, you know, arts advocates will tell you is that it's less about the money and more about the prestige that an NEA grant might provide. You know, that, you know, an NEA grant to a program might, you know, entice other donors to come in and give more money. This is an NEA-funded program. Okay, then I think it's legitimate for me to put fund this as well. So yes, there are certainly programs that would be, especially in rural communities that otherwise wouldn't have access to the arts, that would certainly suffer as a result of the NEA and the NEH being cut. But on the flip side there, some conservatives say, look, the NEA does not meaningfully fund the arts. It's a $150 million budget. Is it really, you know, worth spending the money on something that actually isn't that much money to begin with?
Right. Let's hear from Lindsay. She's in Queens. Lindsay, good morning. Welcome to the Brian Lehrer Show.
Hi. Thank you so much. I work for a theater, a nonprofit theater company, also located out of Manhattan. And at the beginning, the NEA was really important to us. But over time, our company really has come to rely more and more on large gifts from individual donors. And I guess my question is, when we talk about this, how do we think about, like, how the diversity of funds protects freedom of speech? Because as more and more we get funded by rich people, you know what I mean? Like, there has to be strings attached, and, you know, we haven't run into sort of, you know, any issue where we're making, like, a political play or something like that. But, you know, I guess that's just sort of, like, when I think about how neoliberalism works and how, you know, that sort of affects the ability of artists to actually have freedom of expression.
Thank you, Lindsay. Charlie?
To pick up on what you're saying there, that you, your organization started off as a small one and then got big, and then this question of not taking corporate money necessarily, that is a thing that you hear pretty consistently from a lot of organizations. For example, we spoke to Alvin Ailey, the dance company, yesterday, and the executive director talked about how when he started out, Alvin Ailey, he got a grant for $5,000 from the government, and that was crucial at the beginning to really help the organization and allow it to grow to be the size that it is now. And I think that that's the thing that you'll hear a lot is some of those early funds, even $5,000, $10,000 to a small organization, arts organization, can really mean a big deal and also provides a degree of diversity of voices that you may not hear, you know, if you're focusing just on the larger institutions. So, you know, that is one of the things. It may not be a lot of money, as Sopin was talking about, in the scheme of the overall federal budget, but for a lot of these organizations, whether it's in New York City or in other smaller rural areas, can have a really big impact. And again, the NEA tries to focus when they're awarding grants on diversity and looking at different communities and different people and different ideas so that it's not a homogenous choice of arts that are being funded.
Do you think? Yes. Go ahead. Go ahead, Dan.
Just for a moment. Yeah. Listen to that point. You know, one of the things in terms of taking money from corporate donors, films does have a good number of corporate sponsors for our summer series. They're, of course, in a crucial point of funding for us, and that's really helpful. But one thing to understand about corporate sponsorship is that they are very interested in reaching audiences with expensive incomes, with money to spend.
I'm sorry, repeat that again, Dan. Repeat that again. They're interested in what?
Corporate sponsors are going to be most interested in reaching audiences that have disposable incomes, that have additional money. They're much less interested in sponsoring programs that are going to be reaching more vulnerable communities and communities that don't have that disposable income. As a result, over time, if the majority of the money is coming from corporate sponsorships or corporate donors, inevitably, it is their interest that will actually be driving the artistic directions of nonprofit organizations, because that's the only way that they'll be able to survive. And that's something that's important to understand about this NEA funding, is that is money, you know, the NEA funding goes mostly towards programs that are reaching diverse audiences, reaching lower income audiences, reaching large numbers of poor or lower income people. That's not the priority of corporate sponsors. And it's very often not the priority of even philanthropic donors who, you know, might be more concerned with some other issues. And that's where I think the artistic direction might really change if this money disappears.
So is there a silver lining in all this? When we don't have anymore something that we are taking for granted, is this going to get people to care more about the arts and maybe invest some money or time to put together like new organizations and an interest in the arts in communities that normally are underserved because they don't have as many cultural institutions around them? Charlie?
It's definitely going to require, should this go away, institutions to be, especially smaller ones, to be, get even more creative or try and find more ways to find opportunities to fundraise, whether that's from individuals in the community or from corporate sponsorships or philanthropic organizations. But as Sopin was pointing out, that can be challenging, especially if you are a small organization, you know, that maybe has two or three people on staff. and you're serving a particular need in a particular community, maybe or maybe you're one or two people. So I think that it will be challenging, as you know, the one caller pointed out, getting the imprimatur of the NEA providing funds for you really helps them to grow and reach even more people.
And Sopan, what do you think? I'm going to ask you for a prediction. What do you think is going to happen with this proposal? Do you think that we're going to see these agencies eliminated or drastically cut, or they're going to keep the financing they have at this point?
Oh, it's a good question. I try not to get in the prediction game because every prediction I've made in the last 10 years or so has been wrong. But here's what I will say. All hope is not lost for the NEA and NEH, and they do have some Republican allies. You know, we were talking to Pat Buchanan yesterday for a story that came out, is coming out today, and, you know, he says, and, you know, he in the early 90s, Pat Buchanan was a big advocate of getting rid of the NEA, NEH, and public broadcasting. And he was saying, look, this is more of an opening gambit from the Trump administration. And what will likely happen is, due to the advocacy from arts communities around the country, you know, who are going to hit the pavement, who are going to hit their congressmen, senators, and state representatives and whatnot, he thinks that more than likely the NEA and the NEH will at least get some funding. So it'll be interesting to see, but it's not like there are no Republicans that are not supportive of the arts, at least federal funding for the arts in Congress. So that's something that I think, you know, NEA advocates and NEH advocates and CPP advocates can kind of take some solace in.
So, Charlie, do you think that we're going to see also the Corporation for Public Broadcasting being saved at the last minute? And what does that mean also if they cut all the funding, if you eliminate the Corporation for Public Broadcasting? What do you think that means for rural communities in America, that maybe the radio stations or the TV stations depend bigly on these funds?
I mean, a lot of smaller stations are very reliant on the funds from the Corporation for Public Broadcasting, much more so than WNYC and New York Public Radio. But it is important all around, I would say. And this is something that I think Sopan himself has done a lot of reporting on, like some of the specific communities that could be affected by this. There are a lot in very rural areas that get a lot of money from CPB. And if they wanted to change things around, and maybe if they didn't get that money or if it was significantly reduced, they may try to use that money in different ways, or see if they can try and raise more money. It is something that, you know, I think, like with the NEA and with the NEH and with the budget that came out yesterday from the Trump administration, this is a little bit of an opening salvo. And I think what you're beginning to see is definitely a mobilization of different forces coming together, wherever they may be, to try and lobby for and put out there why it's important to keep the funding going.
And Dan, are you planning on doing anything? Do you have friends or people, colleagues in this nonprofit cultural world that are trying to protest or trying to organize any kind of march to avoid these cuts from finally getting approved?
I don't think there's any march planned as of yet, but I think one of the great things that the arts does have going for it is we have audiences. You know, we've reached hundreds of thousands of people with communication and at our events over the course of the year, and we're a relatively small nonprofit, but, you know, compared to a lot of the other really powerful organizations out there. So I think the main thing that arts organizations really need to do is to do everything they possibly can to get this message out to all of their constituents. I know many organizations are already doing that, as was discussed earlier, getting people to really push their congressmen to fight this as hard as possibly can, to get that message out to all those other, to really get out of the New York City bubble to some extent, and to communicate to people outside of this community just how much the NEA funding means to their local programs. There are dance programs all over America and things like that that would be cut, and theater programs for the elderly that would be cut in states all across America. Communicating to the rest of America that is going to impact the programs that they send their children to, that their retired parents might be benefiting from, those are the things that the messages that I think will really hit home and I think get a couple of Republicans to buckle and to fight against these changes.
You're listening to The Brian Lehrer Show. We've been talking about the Trump's budget and its impact on the arts world. We've been talking to Charlie Herman, his business and culture editor at WNYC, Soap and Deb, a reporter for The New York Times, and also with Dan Nuxall. He is the director of Rooftop Films, a nonprofit and that has received funding from the National Endowment for the Arts for each of the last 7 years. Thank you, all of you.
Thank you.
Thank you.